All right, let's unpack this. You're bringing goods into the US from China in 2025, and those Section 301 tariffs are still a real thorn in everyone's side,
Oh,
right? It's
absolutely.
hitting those profit margins hard. So the million-dollar question is, what's the smart way to handle this? How do you shield your bottom line from those duties?
That's really the core challenge many importers are grappling with right now. It's not just about absorbing the extra cost. It's more about strategically navigating these tariff obligations to stay competitive.
Exactly. And that's precisely what we're diving into today. We've sifted through a ton of information on, well, three key strategies that can help you either delay paying duties or maybe even reduce them altogether. We're talking about foreign trade zones, bonded warehouses, and bonded CFS entries.
Think of these as like different tools in your import toolkit. Each one offers a pretty distinct approach to how you interact with customs and manage your finances related to those imported goods.
Our goal today is straightforward, but honestly, pretty critical to give you, the listener, a clear understanding of each of these options. By the end of our discussion, you should have a good sense of which strategy or maybe even a combination could be the smartest play for your specific import needs in 2025. We'll consider everything from, how much you're importing to your delivery schedules and the nature of your operations.
Because what makes perfect sense for, say, a high-volume electronics importer might be completely unsuitable for a smaller business bringing in seasonal apparel. It's really all about finding that right fit for your unique situation.
All right, let's kick things off with what seems like the heavy hitter, foreign trade zones or FTZs. As I was looking into this, it struck me as the real power tool for importers, particularly if you're moving, significant quantities of goods. So in simple terms, what is an FTZ?
Essentially, a foreign trade zone is a specially designated area within the United States that, well, for customs purposes, it's considered outside of U.S. territory. This allows companies to bring foreign goods into the zone without those goods formally entering U.S. commerce. So as a result, you don't pay import duties up front. Within the FTZ, you can then store, process, assemble, or even manufacture those items.
Okay, so the duty payment is deferred until the goods actually leave the FTZ and enter the U.S. market for sale. I can definitely see the advantage there, especially for those dealing with large volumes.
Exactly.
What are the key benefits for these high-volume players?
Well, for high-volume importers, the benefits can be really substantial.
Yeah.
The primary one, like you said, is this duty deferral. You're not laying out that tariff money until your products are ready to be sold domestically.
Right.
Secondly, if you end up re-exporting those goods from the FTZ to another country, you can avoid U.S. duties altogether.
Oh, wow.
Imagine the cost savings for a company that re-exports a significant portion of its inventory. That could be a real game changer.
That's a huge advantage for businesses with international distribution networks.
Absolutely. Then there's the potential for administrative efficiency. You might be able to file a single customs entry, that's the formal process of declaring your imported goods to U.S. Customs, just once per week for all your FTZ activity,
Okay.
which can streamline paperwork and potentially lower your brokerage fees.
Makes sense.
And what's also pretty fascinating is the duty rate advantage. Let's say you're importing components with, I don't know, a 5% duty rate. But after you assemble them into a final product within the FTZ, that finished product has a lower duty rate, maybe 2%.
Okay.
When the final product leaves the FTZ, you would legally pay the lower 2% rate. So this is just deferral. It's potential outright savings based on your U.S.-based operations.
Oh, that's a really smart way to leverage the system. And the information I looked at also mentioned no duty on scrap or waste generated within the FTZ.
Precisely.
For manufacturing operations, that could definitely add up to significant savings over time.
Exactly. However, it's important to understand that these potential benefits come with their own set of complexities and requirements. It's definitely not a simple off-the-shelf solution.
Right. It sounds like setting up and running an FTZ is a pretty significant undertaking. What are the main hurdles involved?
Well, the initial setup can be quite time-consuming and expensive. You need to apply for FTZ status and get approval from U.S. Customs and Border Protection, CBP. This often involves a lot of paperwork and might require modifications to your physical facilities. And furthermore, maintaining an FTZ demands very, very tight inventory controls and often specialized tracking software to keep a precise account of all the goods within the zone.
So definitely not something for a business that only imports a few times a year, then.
No, definitely not. It's generally not a practical solution for small volume or infrequent shipments. Also, it's crucial to remember that you typically can't sell goods directly to consumers from an FTZ.
Right.
They need to formally enter U.S. commerce through a customs entry first.
Okay, so an FTZ sounds like the right move for large-scale importers who are doing more than just storing goods. They're adding value here in the U.S. through processing or assembly and are looking for those long-term duty savings, but they need to be ready for the upfront investment and the ongoing compliance demands.
That's an excellent summary. Now, let's maybe pivot and discuss bonded warehouses. These offer a different kind of strategic flexibility.
Bonded warehouses, yeah. The name itself does suggest a sort of temporary holding space. The information we have describes it as a way to keep it on hold without paying duty.
Yeah.
So what exactly is a bonded warehouse in this context?
A bonded warehouse is basically a facility that has been licensed by CBP where you can store imported merchandise without paying duties for, well, an extended period. Up to 5 years.
5 years.
5 years. Think of it as a legally authorized storage facility where the duty clock doesn't start ticking until the goods are actually withdrawn.
Wow. That's a considerable amount of time. What are the primary reasons a company would choose to use a bonded warehouse?
The most significant advantage is that extended duty deferral. You don't pay those import duties until you actually take the goods out of the warehouse for consumption within the U.S.
Okay.
This provides valuable breathing room, particularly for goods with slow sales cycles or, you know, seasonal inventory.
Right.
And similar to FTZs, if you re-export goods from a bonded warehouse to another country, they're also exempt from U.S. duties. This can be particularly useful for companies that use the U.S. as a distribution hub.
That makes perfect sense for businesses that might import a large shipment of, say, holiday decorations months before they'll actually be sold to consumers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It also gives you the flexibility to delay the formal customs entry process until you're actually ready to move the product into the market.
Mm-hmm.
And as our sources highlight, it can be especially beneficial for high-value inventory where a large upfront duty payment could put a significant strain on your cash flow.
So it's more about managing when you pay duties and having that longer term storage option rather than, say, active production like in an FTZ. But what are the potential downsides or things an importer needs to be aware of with bonded warehouses?
Several factors come into play. First, bonded warehouses aren't available at every single port, so your geographical location might limit your choices.
Okay.
Secondly, when you want to take goods out of the warehouse, there's a specific withdrawal process that involves paperwork and CBP oversight.
Right. More hoops to jump through?
Kinda, yeah. And of course, storage costs in these facilities can accumulate over time, so you need to factor those expenses into your overall cost analysis.
Sure.
And finally, similar to FTZs, you'll need to have compliant inventory management systems in place, and typically you'll need to secure a customs bond.
Right. That all makes sense. So a bonded warehouse sounds like a good solution for companies dealing with high-value goods, perhaps with unpredictable release schedules, or maybe those who frequently re-export.
Mm.
The key benefit seems to be that flexibility to hold onto inventory without that immediate duty obligation.
Precisely. Now, for a different type of flexibility, let's explore bonded CFS entries. These are described as offering low setup, short-term flexibility, which sounds appealing for certain kinds of shipments.
Mm-hmm.
What's the core idea here?
Bonded CFS, which stands for Container Freight Station, entries are really designed for importers who are dealing with LCL cargo that's less than container load.
Right.
Meaning your shipment doesn't fill an entire shipping container. If you regularly have smaller, varied shipments that are consolidated with other importers' goods in a shared container, this could be a very useful option for you.
Yes, it provides a way to defer paying duties until you formally complete the customs entry process. And it's particularly well-suited for these smaller, consolidated shipments that arrive in shared containers.
Mm-hmm.
The real advantage here is that you don't need to have your own dedicated warehousing infrastructure. Instead, you utilize a third-party bonded CFS facility.
So less upfront investment and fewer logistical complexities on the importer's side. That sounds like a much lower barrier to entry compared to setting up an FTZ or even managing your own bonded warehouse.
Exactly. It gives you the ability to hold on to or even reroute your goods while you're still making final decisions about their ultimate destination or your customs entry strategy.
Okay, so it's a more temporary holding solution specifically for these smaller co-loaded shipments. What are the trade-offs we should be aware of?
Well, the main thing to keep in mind is that the permitted storage time in a bonded CFS is typically quite short, often under 15 days.
Oh, okay. Only 15 days.
Yeah, generally. Also, because the CFS involves the process of divanning, that's unloading the containers and sorting the various shipments, you'll likely encounter higher handling fees compared to dealing with full container loads directly.
Right, that makes sense. More handling.
Exactly. And naturally, since you're using a third-party facility, you will have less direct control over your cargo compared to having it in your own FTZ or private bonded warehouse.
So definitely not a long-term storage strategy. It sounds more geared towards that immediate need to delay the formal customs entry or maybe to manage those smaller mixed shipments as they arrive.
Precisely. It's most appropriate when you need, you know, a short window to finalize your plans, manage less predictable LCL cargo, or temporarily hold goods to better align with your downstream logistics.
Now, the information also mentions a couple of extra time without extra hassle tools, portside entry delay, and ACH with periodic monthly statement.
Oh, yeah.
These sound like they offer more immediate, shorter-term flexibility.
They do. Portside entry delay allows you to postpone formally entering your goods with customs for up to 15 days while the shipment is still physically at the port after arrival.
Okay.
While it's a relatively brief window, as our sources indicate, it can be valuable for managing, say, time-sensitive financial situations or making those crucial last-minute routing adjustments.
15 days might not seem like a lot, but yeah, in the world of logistics, that can sometimes provide just the breathing room you really need.
Absolutely.
What about this ACH with periodic monthly statement, PMS?
Right, the periodic monthly statement, often just called PMS.
Mm-hmm.
It's an option available to enrolled importers who pay their duties electronically via ACH.
Mm-hmm.
It allows you to consolidate all of your eligible customs entries within a given calendar month into a single duty payment.
Oh, nice.
And this single payment isn't due until approximately the 15th working day of the following month. So this can effectively extend your duty payment window by anywhere from, say, 20 to 45 days.
Wow.
Which can provide a pretty significant boost to your working capital and cash flow management.
That sounds like a pretty straightforward way to manage your cash flow more effectively, at least for those who qualify for the program.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So we've now explored the major duty management strategies and a couple of useful supplementary tools. Now comes the, well, the most important question for you, the listener. Which one is the right fit for your business?
And as the information strongly emphasizes, there's really no universal solution here, is there?
Not at all.
What works brilliantly for a massive electronics importer that conducts assembly in the U.S. is likely going to be completely wrong for a smaller distributor dealing with seasonal goods arriving in LCL shipments.
Exactly. It all comes down to understanding your unique business needs and your operational realities. Let's quickly recap those ideal use cases based on what we've discussed.
Perfect. So if you're a high-volume importer who is actively processing or assembling goods within the United States, a foreign trade zone is likely going to be your most powerful option.
Right. If your business involves storing high-value inventory that might have a slower turnover rate, or if you frequently re-export a portion of your imported goods, then a bonded warehouse offers greater flexibility for both storage duration and duty deferral.
Okay. And for those of you who regularly manage LCL cargo or find yourselves needing that short-term flexibility to delay the formal customs entry process, a bonded CFS entry is probably the most practical and suitable choice.
Mm-hmm.
And if, after considering all of this, you're still feeling uncertain, and let's be honest, these can be complex decisions with significant financial implications.
Definitely.
It is always a wise move to seek expert guidance. Properly navigating the setup processes, the ongoing compliance requirements, the intricacies of customs timelines, and the overall impact on your cash flow.
Mm.
It really demands careful consideration.
Yeah, the information we looked at also wisely points out that there are many freight forwarding companies and customs brokers out there who offer more than just, you know, moving your cargo from point A to point B.
That's right.
They often have the expertise to provide valuable guidance on these very duty management strategies.
Absolutely. They can provide a more holistic view of your supply chain operations and help you integrate the most effective duty management tools into your overall strategy.
All right, so as we wrap up this deep dive into the strategies for managing those ongoing China tariffs in 2025, here's maybe a final thought for you to consider.
Taking into account your current import operations and your projections for future growth, which of these duty management strategies, the significant control and potential savings of a foreign trade zone, the storage and timing flexibility of a bonded warehouse, or maybe the agile short-term benefits of a bonded CFS entry, which could ultimately offer the most substantial advantage to your bottom line in this constantly evolving landscape of international trade?